Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
In this week's special audio cast, I talk to a traddie. What exactly is that? Well, sit back and...
1, 2, 3, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion with a traditionalist, also known as a traddie. These are folks who are Catholic for sure, but they prefer the old style of the liturgy or the mass. And so very different from what I was trained in the seminary, and what is known a secular institute priest, and I celebrate for mass something called the Novus Ordo, which is the new order, which happened after Vatican II. Why is this a big deal and a big conversation? Well, because to some degree, when you hear this deep dish discussion with Joe Condit, who is the president and founder of Catholic Speakers Organization, who just happens to be the sponsor for this particular episode, you're going to hear some very unique ideas, and some of them are going to challenge you and maybe even upset you. But here's the beauty. Even though we have a different approach and a way to celebrate the sacred liturgies, we can still pray together. And more importantly, we know that we're all on a mission to spread the good news. And at one point, you're just going to have to realize that it's not about just how you pray, it's who you're praying to. So I hope you enjoy this deep dish discussion with Joe Condit, and it's brought to you by Catholic Speakers Organization, which basically provides the best speakers and musicians and presenters for your Catholic event. You could just go to CatholicSpeakers.com and learn all about that. And I'm going to be right back with my deep dish discussion in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And as you heard from our intro, we've got Joe Condit of CatholicSpeakers.com. And we're going to talk about all things traditional because you're a pretty traditional kind of guy growing up in what is called the liturgy of the Tridentine Mass. So because some of my people who listen, they don't know what even mass means. Why would it? That's a big word, Tridentine. Why don't we break this down for people? Because it is different from the masses that I celebrate. I do celebrate the Tridentine Mass on occasion, not that good at it, but I do celebrate the Mass in Latin, sometimes facing the people and sometimes my back towards the people. So what are the characteristics of a Tridentine Mass and how is it different from the Mass that people usually attend on Sundays at church?
Well, there's a lot of differences, Father. That's a question that we probably could spend 3 or 4 episodes just diving into. But
well, we'll have to get to some of them.
Right. So the traditional Mass, as it's called today, is done in Latin. Mm-hmm. The priest faces the altar. Mm-hmm. It faces the tabernacle. Everything is very systematic. It's the same Mass every time. Mass is the highest form of sacrifice that man can do, according to the Catholic Church, obviously, on earth.
Yep.
One thing that irks me is when Catholics call it a service. It is not a service. Mm-hmm. It is a Mass.
Actually, technically, it's a liturgy.
Right.
Liturgy of the Eucharist, Liturgy of the Word. But that is even something different because the Tridentine ritual, because it's a rite.
Right.
It's one of the accepted rites for the Roman Catholic. By the way, folks, to become a Catholic, we are so universal. We have many rites. But after Vatican II, which happened in the 60s, we changed the rite of Mass. So the prayers became different. We actually started speaking in English. We actually created an altar that faced the people. At one point, they had the back towards the people. That's called ad orientem, which means to the east. Which do you prefer? With the priest facing towards the east, or do you have a difficulty with priests facing you?
I prefer what the Catholic Church in its pureness and absolute no errors. I prefer what the Catholic Church prefers. And in my mind, I just prefer the Latin Mass.
So it's just a preference, but yes. You accept both Masses.
Yes. Masses, you mean English and Latin?
Exactly.
I prefer the Latin Mass. Honestly, in the way that I grew up, the English Mass is foreign to me. So it's just foreign. I don't understand what's going on sometimes. I don't understand why it's so different. It goes against everything that I was taught. You know, the Catholic Church is uniform. It's perfect. It doesn't change.
Oh, but it
does. But anyone that is—
Doesn't it? I mean—
It doesn't contradict itself.
Well, but the fact is, the Tridentine Mass, it's a new rite compared to what it was even just 1,000 years before.
Well, but it grew into that, right? It never stopped and then said, okay, now we're going to change it completely, change the words of Christ at the consecration, change the way the priest is. I mean,
tell me about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, and again, before I go into all this with you, I don't want anyone to think we're conspiracy theorists, but this is not Joe Condit's opinion. This is the Catholic Church's teaching, right? The Catholic Church, if made by God the Almighty, you first have to understand that or agree that there is a God. He's all perfect and all knowing. He can't contradict himself.
Sure.
And at the point that he does, it makes anyone that's intellectually honest with themselves ask the question, is this of God or is this of man?
Okay.
So the words of Christ were changed. One of the revolutionary, what they called it, actions of Vatican II was completely just gut the way it was from what I knew. And make a completely new Mass, right? So at the consecration, where there's encyclicals of popes prior to Vatican II that have written on this, you know, popes that are now saints, if you change the words of Christ, this is not Joe Condit speaking now, if you change the words of Christ, as in the consecration, or mess with them in any way, not only does the Mass become invalid, it becomes a sacrilege.
Okay,
those are heavy, heavy words, right?
Wait, can I ask you just which words were being changed?
For many and for all.
Are you a Latinist?
I took Latin.
Okay, so,
I studied, but I would never say I'm an expert by any means.
Okay.
But I do know that from Greek to Latin, Hebrew to Greek, Greek to Latin,
sure,
the words all and many translate seamlessly.
Promultes.
There's no gray area. Like in my freshman year in Latin class, but if I would have put that down for all, I would have got it marked wrong.
Sure.
Right. So the changing of those, which is bizarre, right? I don't understand why that is. So that's just one of them. You said we'll talk about a couple examples. That's one of the examples. The other examples, communion in the hand. That just to me, I prefer, you know, the way that the Latin Mass, the Mass that served the church over 500 years leading up to the changes, I prefer, and I believe that's the way Christ intended. I don't think as humans we should be touching the body of Christ if you're not a priest like you, Father, with consecrated fingers. I can give an example of that. St. Isaac Joe's got his fingers cut off when the savages realized that, hey, he can only touch the body of Christ with those two fingers. They chopped his fingers off. He had to write his bishops. Now remember, this is way before email and cell phones.
Sure.
He had to write and wait months to get the permission to touch the host with
the
middle finger and the ring finger.
Sure.
Okay? Is God just looking at St. Isaac Joe's right now and saying, hey, sorry, you know, made a mistake. Now, little Susie Q.
I just have to ask you this, though, because there are instances of people receiving communion in the hand.
Yep, and then it changed.
Even the disciples.
Correct, but it changed too. That was prior to the Mass we're talking about now,
but it never went back. What you just did, though, like on a logical level, is you implied that the church, acting as the body of Christ, because I agree with this, created ritual, and God created that.
God creates it through the church, correct.
But now the same church in Vatican II expanded the ritual and therefore now it's contradicting itself.
Well, it is contradicting itself because when they changed it from way in the old days, you are correct. I think there is evidence of people receiving it in the hand.
My gosh, I mean, it was actually the only way it was to be received.
And then they changed it to the tongue.
Well, that's just another
way. And then they
way.
Went back to the hand. That's the first time in the history of the church where the church contradicted itself from growth
but it didn't.
And went back.
No, because it's trying to say that there is a fullness because the church never says you can't receive it on your tongue. You can receive it on your tongue and you can receive it in your hand. But because remember that originally, especially since it was practiced in the East, they gave communion with a spoon.
Right.
You see, the Eucharist would have the host as well as a drop of the precious blood, and then it would be spoon-fed into the mouth. And so that's what they were trying to replicate without right. the spoon.
Right. Well, and I have to say this, though, but there is teaching that only the priest with his consecrated fingers can touch the body of Christ.
But now, see, where did you get that? Because that's actually a man-made law.
Which was made by the church.
You're
which
right.
you have to believe was made by God through the men.
But that was only because it was a way to protect the Eucharist. These days, I think most people understand because there were literally people who would want to mess with it.
Right, which is really eerie from the satanic masses that torture the host.
Sir,
correct.
But as far as the priest, you're saying that only the priest can touch the Eucharist.
In the mass that served, I shouldn't say hate.
No, that's okay.
Traditional.
Yeah.
I don't believe that the term should be ever used. There's only one faith. There's only one Catholic faith.
Sure.
And we're not a political party.
No. No, I think people have politicized it, though.
Exactly. Certainly. There's conservative Catholics. There's liberal. What does that even mean? There's only one truth.
But if
right?
Yeah, but I think people do that because I know there are people who are a little bit more conservative who would just hate the fact that people are receiving communion on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But the communion on the hands, I just want to make sure I understand. I agree that reception of communion and the sacrament itself is of utmost sacred nature and
right.
it should not be treated lightly.
Right.
But to receive it on the hand is something that you personally disagree with.
I personally disagree with it. I
because
don't think because
think
I'm
it's
not
a law.
Because Father, you hold the powers to change the body and blood of Christ. That is an unbelievable miracle.
Yes, it is. Believe me, I freak out every time I do it. I really do. I freak out every time I do it.
And God bless to have people like you on earth that hear the calling of God and be able to do that. That is a sacred thing, and there's a reason why your two fingers are consecrated. I personally
wait. Those two fingers are not consecrated. The hand is consecrated.
But you're supposed to only touch the host.
Because that was a man-made rule. Because remember, at one point, they didn't have the host that we have now. And so the fraction right, the breaking right, it would mm-hmm. create crumbs.
Correct.
And we want to preserve the crumbs.
Right, because we believe it's Christ's body.
But the original right prior to the Tridentine right, they didn't say you had to hold your thumb and your pointer finger mm-hmm. together. It
Correct.
Just wasn't written in there. It is later on.
Right. And then it went back. So that was just my whole point. Like,
yeah.
why is it going back? Why are we changing the words of Christ? Why are tabernacles...
Okay, I think I see what you're saying.
Why are tabernacles disappearing from the altar, right? Under mm-hmm. the premise that it was distracting. What elderly lady had that much power where she went and started complaining about a tabernacle? I mean, there's things that just don't make sense to me. Now, I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just saying I prefer, in my Catholic faith, the reverence, the unbelievable atmosphere you have when attending a Tridentine or Latin Mass.
Sure.
It's about God.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your knees most of the time, which you're
sure.
not in the New Mass. You're praying. You're thinking about, you know, how do I improve myself? Because we're all sinners.
But not necessarily participating. I think that was one of the words that Vatican II was trying to encourage.
Participating or distraction? Now this is me talking now.
No, I'm stepping away.
I think it's a distraction. I don't care about little Johnny trying to make his career with his guitar and his band up on it. Well, that's so Protestant. And I love my Protestant brothers. I do believe the Catholic Church is the one true faith. And and as the popes, this is not, now it's not Joe Condit.
Mm-hmm.
All the popes prior to the changes, you can read them one after another. If you are not Catholic, you will suffer the eternal hellfire. It is blatant, as clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
That is not me talking, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, as Catholics, we have to recognize the Pope after Pope after Pope after Pope has said, no matter how much you tout Jesus' name, if you are not Catholic inside his church, you will suffer the same eternal fire.
Ex ecclesia salus nulla, so no one outside of the church can be saved.
And that's hard
saved,
to hear, right?
But that's just the church's, it is not an official dogma that says if you are not Catholic, you are not saved. Because even in the liturgies, it talks about being able to save the people, Jews who are still coming to know Jesus, and people who would not have had a chance to know Jesus because missionaries didn't exist at the time. So it's talking about people in their consciousness leaving the church. You're not going to be saved if you're literally leaving your faith. But if you don't know Christ just because of circumstances, mm-hmm. how can that be? It's not their fault.
Well, that's where we bring in the thou. That's the true thou shalt not judge, mm-hmm. which is perverted by my generation beyond belief.
Your
that's
generation no, being?
My generation, you know, 30s and later 20s, okay. early 30s.
So like mid-30s. The end of the millennium.
Oh my goodness, I'm mid-30s. I'm getting old, Father.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, you know, that is thou shalt not judge. No one knows who goes to heaven.
Sure.
No one knows. You always have to pray. That's why the Catholic Church says pray for the poor souls. So anyway, back to the Mass. It's just something I prefer. And when it comes to personal growth, it's reverent. It helps you pray. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a great point earlier, you know, the changes of participation. Let's get into the participation. Now, I grew up in the Tridentine Mass from first grade to eighth grade.
Okay.
So I learned how to serve Mass, learn Latin, everything.
Your family went to the Tridentine Mass.
Yes, yes. My father made the decision that it would be, you just want to, as St. Paul says, stick to the traditions.
And let me ask you now, like, how many people in your family, how many siblings did you have?
I'm one of six.
One of six. Yeah. So a traditional Catholic family.
Yes, yeah.
Pretty big.
One of six, one of 61 grandchildren on my father's side, one of about 25
so
of my mom's.
You're very fertile and very Catholic and very anti-contraception. You're open to life, to the gift of life.
As God calls you to be.
Of your siblings, are all of them still practicing Catholic?
No. No, which is all, and the thing is it's amazing, you know, you don't know why that happens. We all had the same upbringing. We all had the same household. I mean, my house growing up was a 3-bedroom home with 6 kids.
Sure.
Think about how close quarters, 1 bathroom. Think about how close quarters that is.
No, I get it.
And right now, if I had to say it, you know, some of us went one way, some of us went another. And in fact, Father, you know, I'll say this publicly now with you, it's a great story, not a great story, but I even lost my faith for a while. I lost my faith in college, and then even during being the leader of the largest Catholic speakers platform on the internet.
Yeah, Catholic Speakers Organization.
I was dating an amazing girl who, God bless her, she's married now, an amazing girl, and I thought maybe God sent this girl in my life to really understand the truth. So I actually ended up leaving the Catholic faith for a year and a half, maybe even 2 years, dating her mm-hmm. because I felt like, well, I'm only Catholic because my parents were Catholic, right? Mm-hmm. And she was pretty evangelical, I would say non-denominational. And that actually was the biggest blessing to me because it forced me to start looking into my faith. And I went full circle. I left and came back around. Now I'm Catholic because I choose to be, because I believe it's the one true faith. Okay. I believe it's how God.
So, but your family raised you in a very strict Catholic household.
Yes.
How many people are still practicing the Catholic faith as you were raised? You and they're still going to Tridentine Mass.
In my immediate family,
mm-hmm.
We are at probably 70% still practicing.
And then the others not?
No.
Okay. Okay. And you say they're still practicing, they're still going to Tridentine Mass.
No, actually, so the Tridentine Mass would be myself mm-hmm. and I think 50% of a sibling.
Three of them are going to Tridentine liturgy.
No, actually just me and another one.
Okay,
yeah,
so I don't even, a third.
Yeah.
A third of you are going. Okay, and when you go to Mass, first of all, they're not easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
Tridentine liturgies are not easy to find.
No.
There's Fraternities of St. Peter, which does the Tridentine Mass in Latin, mm-hmm. as you would know it, but you actually are not allowed to go to that one. You have to go to...
I was excited to hear that Benedict brought back the Tridentine Mass when he was, you know...
But he actually didn't get rid of it. Nobody got rid of it. It's always been part of the rite. It's considered the...
Correct. Like, everything went to
It's called
English.
The extraordinary form.
Exactly, yeah. Again, all these terms almost make it's a weird thing to me. It's almost making it separate. Like, okay, you have this or this. No, Catholic faith is one faith, and it's up to all of us to find out what that means. What is that one trueness that God left?
But you go to this Mass, like, if you can't find a Tridentine Mass on a Sunday, what do?
I say the Rosary.
So you don't even go to the other Mass?
I don't like to. I just
really,
it's, let me tell you why. Personally,
yeah,
you know, I don't like to because of several things. I don't agree with the way communion is handled. I don't like the way that it's kind of a production. It's distracting to me.
Wait a second. Hold on one second. Listen, I studied The Extraordinary Form. That is a production. You literally, you have to get everything. I mean, people are ringing bells. They got to walk backwards three times. Walk backwards to the side. So correct. That's a production.
From a production standpoint, I meant like it's more, to me, it feels like it's more on the personality of the priest, the English Mass.
Oh, I see.
And it's almost like people are starting to leave the Catholic mind of thinking and starting to act like we're, you know, Protestants.
Sure.
And,
sure.
Oh, I don't like Father Billy when he does it. Well, no. If you go to the Trinity Mass, the same. There's no personality except at the homily.
Wait a minute. But that's not true either, because having been friends with people of the Fraternity of St. Peter, they actually told me that depending on the personality of the priest is like which form of the extraordinary form they use. They could do the higher, they could do the lower, and it all depended on their timing. So there's variations. I've been to several of these, and they don't always jibe. They're always different.
I'm not familiar. You might be saying high mass versus low mass.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so, yeah, which is longer. You know, that the high mass is the...
But even then, you can say the low mass like that.
One of the saints said it should be said in 30 minutes. You know, I forget what saying it was, but it's 30 minutes and get it done so people aren't spacing out and losing their minds.
Well, that's it. I mean, so one of the big struggles is, like, in just asking, you would much rather just pray the rosary than receiving the Eucharist.
Yeah, in order to, well, and that goes into what kind of times we're living in. Okay. When I can't find a lot, and of course I have gone to the new Mass, but I find myself a lot of the times, and I would love to know a poll on your listeners. A lot of the times, from the practice of where the women are now very involved with Mass.
Mm-hmm. And lectors, ministers of the Eucharist. And extraordinary.
In the Trinity Mass, there is nothing like that. There's no female servers.
No, clearly.
There's no female participation. And this has nothing to do with being sexist. viewers that are not Catholic.
It was because the ritual was created in a very patriarchal time of the world's history.
Correct.
I mean, prior to that, we know there were, quote, don't freak out, everybody, deaconesses, but that just meant servants.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily liturgical anything. It was for them to assist, particularly in baptism, because baptisms were done in the nude. Mm-hmm. And so having a woman there to assist a woman being baptized was to prevent any type of inappropriations during the ritual.
Correct.
Because people are people.
That's exactly right, Father. And as men, we're very visual creatures. So when a woman goes up to read the liturgy or read it from the
gospel.
Here
we go. This is going to sound misogynistic for some people, but go ahead.
It's true, though. It's true. It's my truth, right? When she walks up, and women are beautiful creatures.
Not all.
I think they're just beautiful.
They're beautiful because they're gifts of God. But I mean, like, sorry. Some of them I'd rather just keep my eyes closed, not because I'm going to be tempted.
Right. What do they say? God messed up first time, then he made Eve and made perfection.
Well, I mean, scripturally, they were already conceived in God's intention.
Right,
exactly. That what I need to do is I need to take a quick break. I'm going to come right back, and we're going to just keep hammering out these distinctions on why you prefer the Latin Mass, and maybe I'm going to even ask the question, is one more valid than the other? We'll be back with more Shoot the Shiitake, Joe Condit. We're talking all things Latin. Hopefully it makes sense. We'll be back in just a moment. I hope you're enjoying this deep dish discussion here on Shoot the Shiitake. And if you enjoy our work and are learning from these deep dish discussions, please support us at patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds, and we'll provide for you access to our premium content. So encourage family, friends, and parishioners and pastors to sign up for this special podcast on their podcast platform and support us at patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for our deep dish discussion. We are talking with Joe Condit here, and we just put you off. We cut off right at the point where we're talking about Joe is going to confess to me what his thoughts are when he sees a female giving communion or reading the Word of God.
Well, you know, as a single guy, if she's good looking, the last thing you're thinking about now is, you know, churchly things. Not that your mind goes to sinful.
Does that just make you a pervert?
Here's the thing, though. I'm not a pervert by any means, but I'm just being honest. When a girl goes clanking up in her heels and she has a skirt on and you look, I mean, it's just, why am I in church? Now, why am I even having this temptation?
So this is your issue. because
I think I represent probably 99.9% of males.
Clearly you don't, because
that are honest, that are going to be honest.
Clearly you don't.
You throw a good-looking girl in any room, guys are looking.
Sure.
Whether you're in church or not.
So we should just have ugly women read the scriptures.
No, that would be an interview. That would bother Howard. So,
because what you're saying is you prefer the Latin Rite Mass. Also, because there are no women participating in
liturgy. It has nothing to do with women. It's just there's no chance of having any kind of temptation. It was engineered perfectly in a way that your mind stays on God as much as possible. Men, we're visual creatures, again, Father, and you put a good-looking girl in a mix of anything, men are looking.
And the Blessed Mother shows me Jesus. So, like, my question for you is this. You think that the church engineered that only men can be in the sanctuary so that people will not be distracted. What about women being attracted to the priest?
God made women a little bit different. They could be.
But the whole point is for people to get close to God
through
the sacrament. And if there's a good-looking priest, what about women who might be a man who struggles with homosexual tendencies?
All that is very valid. But I guess we would have to go back to then, why is this even? Now, remember, my whole conversation so far has been my opinion.
Sure, sure.
But where this comes from, you know, then you'd have to then go say, well, was Christ, you know, anti-female by having only male apostles?
Clearly not.
Was St. Paul sinful and, you know, also say whatever you want, misogynist, sexist, when he said women should not talk? You know, which there's a scripture, I think it's Timothy, where St. Paul says something where women need to just be quiet and listen to the men as leaders. Now, I butchered that, but it was a paraphrase. But that is, you know, that's said. So there's the scripture addresses this.
You're saying that women should not participate in the liturgy as extraordinary ministers of communion or as reading the scriptures.
I'm saying that is the teaching of the Catholic Church prior to the changes.
Just
prior to the changes.
No. But that's where you're taking an antiquated part of history, and you're saying that was the most fulfilled moment.
So,
and that's clearly not true at all.
So
women were reading the scriptures, they were proclaiming it because there were no men in monasteries. So women had to read the scriptures. They had to help. I mean, you saw the picture of St. Clair holding the monstrance literally in her hand to protect
her
convent against this.
During the reign, 500 years plus of the Tridentine Mass, the Latin Mass.
500 years.
You would say that there was no rule. Are you saying
there was a rule?
Okay, there was a rule. So I'm just saying, why is that changed back?
It was a rule that fit that place and time.
Okay.
So in other words, the church doesn't exist only in those 500 years. It existed before that, and it existed after
But it never contradicted itself until that point.
And so contradiction,
God cannot do, right?
You're basically saying that a liturgical law is dogma?
Anything in faith and morals.
Nope. That you're saying that a liturgical law, which is completely man-made in a time of patriarchal, and I don't have any trouble with it, but you're saying that is God's law, you're saying that man's law when they made the liturgy is God's law and therefore it can't be changed.
You have to believe God made that liturgy through the men. Right.
Well, through the people at that place in time. The church didn't die then. Even then it was evolving. Trust me. For 500 years, it did not stay exactly the same.
Right.
It was tweaked. There were more additions than you can't even imagine. There were literally the need to repeat gospel passages and such like that. So it was manufactured by men and therefore it can be changed by man.
Can't contradict, but we'll just have to agree.
But what's the contradiction though?
Went to no female participation to female participation.
Okay.
Right.
But only for the fact of trying to show that liturgy is a work of the entire people.
Oh, it always has been, right? And I need to make it clear that I'm not personally against women being a part of anything. I just believe that it's not what the church is, you know. I just think it was, I don't even know why they changed it. I don't know why. But then I got into why, you know, for me, why it's challenging. You get a good-looking girl in a room, everyone's looking.
Again, we're just going to get ugly women to, now I'm going to have like people who are going to be very insecure emailing me saying, am I going to be pretty enough or ugly enough to read the scripture?
Oh, boy.
Well, so that's one of the big struggles is that there's a lot of personalities that come into play when it comes to prayer.
Right.
And all I'm trying to do is understand because, frankly, I like it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always understand the attraction that a lot of young people have towards the Tridentine Rite. And I think part of it is because it's in reaction to the silliness that they've experienced in the immediate post-Vatican II liturgies where like they were playing ukuleles, they were replacing, you know, they were trying to teach liturgy with cookies and milk. That kind of stupidity, I grew up to a degree being punished by that, so to speak, because people didn't understand the liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you this, though, and this is just an observation, and so please hear me out. Mm-hmm. Like, don't think I'm making any judgment.
No.
I've actually preached because I wasn't the main celebrant at Tridentine liturgies, and so I could only attend, which means just sit there and just experience the liturgy as a priest. But I could preach, and so I would preach at liturgical Tridentine liturgies. And the feeling is very different. People don't smile. they're not, almost not allowed to show that joy. Now, that might have been just that community, but it's been several communities where people just look angry.
Latin Mass?
Yeah.
Yeah, the culture is you're before God. I mean, you're there as a poor sinner. It's not a time of laughter. It's a time to reflect and become a better soul.
That is unique and interesting.
Yeah.
And so there is a cultural difference, because we can go back and forth liturgically and historically, and there would be probably some learning everyone can do. But culture is the question that I want to kind of
That's interesting, Father. Yeah.
What about the culture? You mentioned that it's a God who is basically there to save you from your sins.
Right.
And you've got to be there as a repentant sinner.
And the Mass is reminding you of like the greatest sacrifice of all time, where God's nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's a culture that really focuses on the crucifixion, the sacrifice.
Exactly.
That's
and
a good thing.
Becoming a better person and being sorry for your sins, reflecting and really focusing and praying. I mean, God asks 1 hour of the entire week for us to think about Him. I think the other distractions, which is called participating, where you're hearing a band, in my opinion, I just don't think that was as well engineered, I'll put it, as the Latin Mass was engineered.
Oh, no. I mean, like, even, for example, choir lofts. The music was always in the back, and
correct,
it was always there to support you. Now they're in the front, and they're almost performing for you. So there's going to be
distraction,
issues back and forth. I don't necessarily always see it. It can be distracting, but I want to focus again on the culture, because the culture of the Tridentine liturgy goers is they want to focus on the 3 hours of Christ crucified, the passion,
the holy sacrifice, the Mass.
The holy sacrifice, the Mass, basically the Triduum,
right,
the 3 days, Holy Thursday,
right,
Good Friday, and the anticipation on Holy Saturday.
Right.
But what about the rest of his life? Could liturgy also be celebrating those celebration moments?
Sure. And I mean, and you feel joy when the priest is giving those sermons on each Sunday or even daily Mass if you go to it. And you feel that joy as he's walking
tell.
You
Some
through.
Some of the people were looking at me like they hated me because I tried.
It's just the resting face, right?
Like
it is, you know, in that culture, it's funny you say that, Father, because I think about it now going back, that culture of Catholicism is just reverence. You're not there to party with a buddy. You're there to be in the presence of God.
Uh-huh.
And you kneel, you pray to Him, you bow in your humble state, and you meditate and do your best to focus on Him. And all the rest of that stuff you let out, you try and leave at the door before you know.
And so that is an interesting part to the culture, because I think what Vatican II tried to do, and I think beautifully, is they wanted to remind people that worship of God can't be limited to that hour and a half of Mass. It also has to be something that you do when you leave. And so how does one pray in the world? How does one worship God at a concert where people might go to, or at a big party? So I think what they try to do is kind of mesh these two worlds, the secular and the sacred, and show a way to worship God there. And then what's your thoughts on that?
That could be dangerous.
Why?
You know, it's just dangerous. God came down and gave us and laid out the way it is. I don't think he ever tried to adapt to us. It was him saying, this is the way it is. This is who I am.
What is that? God did what?
I don't think God ever tried to adapt to us. He was asking us to adapt the ways that he taught, right?
Wait a second. No, but the incarnation is that. He actually became lower than man, it says. He actually came out of heaven and he did enter into our very sinful
world. Oh, sure. Okay. When God the Almighty became Christ. But what I'm saying, when Christ came to the earth, we're saying the same thing, but different. When Christ came to earth, he was here to teach us how God the Father would be pleased. And none of that had any kind of, if that's going to offend you, then no. It was, here's how it is. Here's how you live. Here's what I leave you. If you don't follow it, good luck.
Okay, so let me just, because it's interesting because, again, the culture of the Tridentine focuses on the 3 days of the Triduum, rightfully so, liturgically, theologically. But Vatican II's Novus Ordo is trying to encourage a little bit more of a universal approach. We have to take the celebrations that people have in their cultures called enculturation and bring it in. And so let's talk a little bit about enculturation. We've got about 8 minutes here, and I want to ask you the questions about the practicalities. We know that you don't want women to read because you're going to get turned on.
Oh, it sounds so terrible.
I know it does. I'm kidding with you. Yeah. I know, but you don't want it because it can be distracting, and the engineering is that it was something designed by men because Jesus called them to it. Latin, because you believe that language
doesn't change, so it always is perfect. Right.
Well, hold on. That's not true, too, because there is classical Latin, there's liturgical Latin, there is vulgar Latin, so to speak. So even more elegant forms of Latin from Cicero or to, you know.
Okay, but we can both agree that the Latin language is dead and it's not changing. Like the English language changes every day. I mean, there's different meanings for words that change. I mean, it's changing every day.
But the Latin language did have nuance, actually more so than in cases English. English, we're just making it up. We love to create phrases, but they actually had those in classic Latin as well. It was like a polyvalent meaning. That's why they could be sarcastic. So they did have evolution in the language. But I do believe, remember, they used the Vulgata, which was Latin, the common language, and that's what it was for many years. Now the common language is truly English. More continents speak English than any other language.
Yeah, thanks to Hollywood.
It's also called missionaries.
Right, yeah.
So that idea. Also, some liturgical reverence issues like receiving communion in the hands. I believe that. And I do think that whether they receive it in the hand or tongue, it's more the disposition of the heart. But I completely respect people receiving it on the tongue and even on their knees when they come to me. Let's talk about liturgical music. Let's talk about drums and guitars. Because you would rather prefer either silence or organ.
If you listen to the music that served the church all the way up to the changes,
okay. You
have, and I'm going to butcher this, but I ask your listeners to just hear me out.
That's okay. This is
the
what
way
you're talking
the way
about.
That it was the way that it was written the old way was rhythm then beat. That's been completely inverted. It is now beat then rhythm.
You're talking about the creation of music?
I'm talking about music right now that's used in the New Mass, Vatican II post, and prior to that, Latin Mass versus English. So that's an important point, because what is music anyway? It's rock and roll. And most people don't know what rock and roll means, sex and drugs. So you're mixing two things. Again, you asked me, do you think that when I said it's dangerous, mixing secular things with holy things, you're mixing two things that it's a very dangerous slippery slope. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong or it's right. I'm just saying the facts. Rock and roll stands for sex and drugs. The way that the old...
Wait, what are you talking... Rock and roll?
Yeah.
Are you talking about like contemporary religious music as rock and roll?
Well, if you're focusing on the beat rather than the rhythm first...
Okay. Keep going.
Again, the old music you hear, the new changes, you hear a very godly music that just invokes kind of prayer.
Do you know, though? Like, give me an example of it. Are you talking about polyphony?
Yes.
Are you talking about organ?
Gregorian chant? Sorry. Yes, Gregorian chant. And then verses, you know, just take any song you got. It's drums and guitars. And it replicates rock and roll.
When you hear a beat. The scriptures say, beat the drums and sound the trumpets and clash your cymbals for the Lord.
During Mass?
Well, when you want to worship God.
Okay.
And so if you want to worship God, so that's kind of what they did. So following the Jewish traditions, they would do that because their culture is to just be very...
Now, again, my company promotes musicians, sure. Many musicians that are doing great work.
Like, I mean,
they're doing crazy good, awesome work at conferences. But for mass, yes, I'm not saying it's wrong or it's right. I'm just saying it's interesting how the music used to be focused one way and written one way, and now it's written a different way. And what rock and roll, what happens when you hear a good beat? You start moving your hips, right? You start bobbing, you start, is that supposed to be in church? I don't
gyrating.
Know. I'm just...
I mean, like, you're afraid that someone's going to start swing dancing or bumping and grinding.
Father, I love you.
I love you, too. No, but this is interesting to me because...
Think of the psychological effect, and you're exactly right.
But I do think that there are styles of music that are more evocative of something sublime, like polyphony.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, polyphony was actually seen as devil music by people who were promoters of just simple or plain chant.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, even Gregorian chant was seen as bad because they wanted monotone chant. They just wanted everything like this so that it was a form of meditative speaking.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden, they did this on that. So everyone was like, wait, what did you just do? And then polyphony came in, and then, dag nagget, the organ was considered devil people music. So literally in history, they were like, what the heck are you doing playing that horrible sounding machine?
Mm.
And then on top of that, then you would go to another country and culture and they were playing bagpipes during this. What the, that thing sounds like death itself, you know, some people would say. So I do think that there's a culture of music, and I think what we've got to do is understand what kind of Jesus did, like what worked to bring people closer to themselves and to God and to each other.
Right. And I'm all for bring everyone to him, which the Catholic faith is all about.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not for tainting God's perfect truth in name of society because we're now bigots or we have closed minds. Because let's just be honest, the Catholic faith and what it teaches to today's society is closed-minded Neanderthal people that are not accepting and not loving.
Well, we certainly can agree to some of that. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, so let me just ask you in this last minute here, you know, you're doing amazing work with Catholic speakers. You can certainly
Thank you, Father.
CatholicSpeakers.com. I want everyone to go there. Joe Condit's got some amazing experiences growing up in a traditional household. And, you know, even though he kind of wandered away, he came back and he's trying to promote the Catholic faith, whether they are going to speak in Latin or they're going to speak in Greek, you know, but you are trying to bring all these people together.
Yes.
Through the Catholic faith, which thankfully has many rituals still seen as Catholic. What can I, as a priest, how can I be a good priest for you? What can I do to be a good priest for Joe Condit?
It's amazing, Father, that you say that. I am so excited to tell you this. I had a bet with several of our speakers. And by the way, thank you so much for working with us as a speaker for so many years.
And with your spirit.
Yeah. What you can do is to start preaching Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
What I found on the pulpits is there is never any mention of the scapular anymore, any mention of mortal sin in a way that it's, hey, if you've committed mortal sin. When you look into the Catholic Church today as a company, take our emotions out of it. I watch, and you know, I have to stop going to communion sometimes just because I get mad or I sin and I feel like my temple is not prepared to receive Christ. I watch a lot, almost the whole church go to communion, and I feel like our leadership is losing everything that separates Catholicism from Protestantism.
Okay,
right? Folding of the hands. What in the world's going on right now? This is now my personal opinion. I believe Catholics need to make the sign of the cross, fold your hands when you pray.
Okay.
Now,
so
recently,
you
I've gone
about that.
Yeah, well, yes.
Okay.
But more importantly, the scapular and the rosary. You never hear about that anymore.
Okay.
You never hear about the power of what that is. You know who hates the scapular and the rosary the most?
Devil.
The devil.
Sure.
So how did that not become a mainstream thing? So those are things that I wish priests would start, and I'm not condemning or judging anyone, but I wish priests would start preaching more Catholic marks.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, okay. Catholic culture, Catholic traditions, right. Catholic marks. Okay.
Right, right.
I can try
right.
to do that.
Right.
Anything else as we bring this interview to a close?
Keep doing what you're doing. I love promoting you, Father. That's why you go out and speak to the public and I don't, because you know you're way more learned and way better than
because
me.
Because I can look at these ladies and be like, well, you are making me sin, woman. Make yourself ugly. Cover yourself up. All I want to see are eyeballs. And you can see what would happen.
And
there.
Now we're, yeah. So maybe that's why that the church. Yeah,
but, we will be back with more Shoot the Shiitake and actually my carryout order. I have continued to learn a lot from Joe Condit. So between now and then, just keep enjoying this and think about it as we return for my carryout order here on Shoot the Shiitake. We'll be back in just a moment.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for my carry-out order. And after listening to Joe Condit's deep dish discussion, I'll have to admit he kind of sounds crazy in some regards, but he's really not. He's just incredibly passionate about his cultural background, his traditional upbringing, and the way he finds God. And ultimately, who am I to criticize that? Because the fact is, the type of Mass that he prefers to celebrate, which is something known as the extraordinary form or the Tridentine ritual, it's an incredibly sacred part of our church's liturgy. I don't think he's got all the information that he needs because he's not a theologian and he's certainly quick to admit that. But he also needs to know that there is beauty also in the Novus Ordo as well. The problem is, and this is where I agree with him, that sometimes Mass is treated more of like, how does it make me feel, rather than how am I trying to worship God? There is a great sense of mystery that the Mass, no matter what ritual you use, it has to elevate you to a deeper understanding of who Christ is and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. However, as the Mass really is all about the Paschal mystery, the life, death, and resurrection, we sometimes tend to focus on the death part as opposed to the life part, which is filled with joy. Jesus suffered greatly. That's what the movie The Passion of Christ was all about. But he also, I would have to say, enjoyed life, which is why he wanted to give us life to the fullest. So this certainly, I'm sure, made you think. There are going to be parts where I just want to smack Joe because I don't quite understand what he's talking about, especially the thing about women, participating in the celebration as extra liturgical ministries, extraordinary liturgical ministries. Not like extraordinary, like they're amazing. Well, they are amazing, but extraordinary in the liturgical sense means out of the ordinary, because the ordinary ministers are generally, the priests and the deacons. And then you've got altar servers, and then you can have lectors who are lay people. But at one point, prior to Vatican II, the role of lector, that means the people who read the sacred scriptures, they actually were deputed. There was an actual blessing for them to do that. So he's hearkening back to the traditions, which again, are not bad. I just know that we can't live our Catholic faith in one era of the church's teaching. We've got to also take it into the new world without changing the essence, even if some of the form, like the way we do things, changes, the substance, the essence, will always stay the same. So if you want to learn more about the sacred liturgy, I recommend that you do so. And again, take these opinions and these conversations and thoughts to prayer. And more importantly, make sure that we focus on who we're praying to, as well as, to some degree, how we are praying. It should bring us to a deeper respect and love for our brothers and sisters with whom we pray, but also for our church, because our church is under a lot of pressure these days. And perhaps one of the pressures comes from within, whether they be traditionalist or quote-unquote modern styles of worship. Ultimately, I just wish we could all be friends. But anyway, more to come next time on Shoot the Shiitake, and I do hope you enjoyed this conversation, which was brought to you by Catholic Speakers Organization, basically the world's leading provider for speakers, musicians, and presenters for your Catholic event. You can learn more at CatholicSpeakers.com. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture, Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Cain Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at CainFord.com.